Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2 and 9 to 16. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Second reading is from Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 8b. The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
I want to just start with a little more sharing that last weekend, Jane and I weren't able to be here because we were leading a conference for married couples over in Gloucester. And you kindly prayed for us and prayed that it would go well. We had the best conference ever. It was a beautiful venue. There were 11 lovely couples there, and they all were Christians. They all wanted to join in and strengthen their relationship and make it grow stronger. So thank you for your prayers. It's good to pray, isn't it? And to ask God for his help and his support. So today is the first Sunday of Lent. Lent started. And a good little summary of Lent is on one of our service sheets. Since early days, Christians have observed with great devotion the time of our Lord's death and resurrection. And it became the custom of the church to prepare for this by a season of penitence and fasting. At first, this season of Lent was kept by candidates for baptism at Easter. We've got a few of those coming up. And by those to be restored to the church's fellowship from which they've been separated through sin. In time, the church recognized that all Christians might benefit from keeping a holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word.
Lent begins with Ash Wednesday. The fourth Sunday is traditionally Mothering Sunday, followed by Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday and Holy Week, ending on Easter Eve. The word Lent comes from the lengthening of day.
The challenge of Lent is to go back to basics, to strengthen our faith and to remain faithful to God in the face of testing. Now, I've just been reading at home the story of Job. It's one of my favourite books of the Bible, And you probably know that Job is an exemplary character. He's blameless. Nobody can pin any sort of criticism on him. But at the beginning of the book, shocking disasters strike Job, one after the other. And the book is actually a poetic debate between Job and his friends. Job maintains that he's innocent, that he hasn't done anything wrong, and that God is being unjust and unfair to let him suffer like this. His friends say, "Nah, you must have done something wrong, because otherwise you wouldn't be suffering like this." The friends are kind of telling it like it should be, the way the world ought to work under God. Job is telling it like it is, the puzzle of why innocent people suffer. And I think that's one of the hardest questions that people face, isn't it? I've lost count of the number of people who've said to me, "Oh, I don't believe in God because I've suffered in life, or my sister died, or my husband suffered cancer," or something like that. In other words, people find that such a challenge to their faith. It's one of the hardest questions, one of the most testing things for our faith, isn't it? And our readings today, well, they kind of side with the friends. They say this is how things should be in a just and fair world. The psalm, for example, Psalm 91. I don't know if we can get to it. Can we? Let's have a go, Marianne, to the first reading there and the second screen of it, if that's all right. Psalm 91 says this: "If you make the Most High your dwelling, if you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, then no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent." In other words, it's an encouragement to put your trust in God. He's saying, look, if you trust in God, then you'll be all right. Now, that's not saying that's always true without fail, but it's telling us to have faith in God and to turn to him. Then the next verse, verses 11 and 12. You might think this sounds familiar, actually. "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." Do you know where that comes? When Jesus is tempted, when he's tested in the wilderness, the devil quotes this at him. Quoted in the gospel when Jesus is tempted after his baptism. In other words, the promises in the psalm are how it ought to be. They're a good guide to a life lived wisely. But on the other hand, you can take them out of context. You can lean on them a bit too heavily. And we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't test God to see if he will save us in time of crisis. So, what do you need to do to be saved? Let's turn to the other reading from Romans. Paul tells his readers in Rome that being saved is not difficult at all. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. What he means by the word is near you is he means, look, this is not difficult. You don't have to travel far. You don't have to do a lot of hard work for this. You can be saved at home, in your bedroom, kneeling by your bed, or sitting here in church, or wherever. It's not that difficult. It is in your mouth means that there is something that you need to say. And it is in your heart means that there is something to believe. This must be heartfelt. I love that song that Tim chose just before our readings. "I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. I need you, Lord." This needs to be heartfelt. And just in case his readers didn't get it, he says it a second time in verse 9. So perhaps we can just go back a screen, can we? If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Can you hear that again? There's something with your mouth and something in your heart. Mouth and heart. Believe it wholeheartedly, say it publicly. That's why this month we're encouraging people to consider coming for baptism or christening and also for confirmation. Many people say, oh, why should I bother, Vicar? Isn't that just blowing your own trumpet? Or isn't that just a bit of paper or whatever? No, it's not. Because it's not about what you've achieved or what you've done. It's actually about what God has done for you in Jesus. It's a witness to the world that we believe in Jesus and that he's worth trusting in. Jesus commands us to stand up for him. That's also actually why we're asking people to sign up on our electoral roll, our church membership list. Just to say, yes, I'm a member of this church. I believe in Christ. I stand for him. And Jesus actually told his disciples, you need to confess me before others. If we do stand up for him, he says he will stand up for us before God in heaven. And actually, if we don't, he says rather sternly that he won't stand up for us either. So that's why we encourage people to be baptized, to be confirmed, to join up on the church membership list, to say publicly, yes, we believe. And just in case they haven't got it, Paul says it a third time in verse 10 there. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Anything he says three times, it's got to be serious, hasn't it? It's got to be important to Paul. And he concludes, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. That's a quote from that psalm that we had first. And he says, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. In other words, it doesn't matter who you are. You can be rich or poor, young or old, black or white. Doesn't matter at all. This offer of salvation is open to you. And he finishes, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In other words, don't be vague about it. Don't say, oh, I do hope so. I try my best. Don't do that, because God is making you an offer. It's almost like a present being offered to you. Would you say, oh, no, I couldn't, I mustn't, I won't? No. If a present is being offered to you, that's actually rude to do that. You want to say, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Let's just pray, if we may. Father, thank you for your free offer, the gift of grace and salvation in Jesus our Lord. Help us, we pray, this Lent to go back to basics, to welcome your offer of forgiveness and eternal life, to accept it, to say thank you, and to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.